You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to MLS UK Show Stoppage Time World Cup. Yes, we will be doing episodes throughout the tournament and reacting basically to what is happening on the pitch. I'm Henry Hewitt and as always I'm joined by...
Elliot Holman. Let's do a World Cup special. I'm excited for this.
Yeah, it's finally come around and I don't know about you, Elliot, but have you found that you've kind of only been really into the World Cup the last few days because MLS has only just finished, obviously the English leagues and have only just finished as well. For me, a couple of days ago, it kind of hit me. I went, oh yeah, the World Cup starts on Sunday. We'd better do some episodes.
Yeah, and I have to give full disclosure. I got out of the shower about an hour ago. In the shower, I was listening to Three Lions. I listened to Southgate, You're the One, You Still Turn Me On. Quite an interesting thought in the shower. Also, you remember K-9, Waving Flag, World Cup anthem. Just getting myself in the zone, you know?
Yeah, that Waving Flag song just reminds me of World Cup PlayStation, when, yes, you know, the loading screen. but no, here we are for the World Cup. It is finally here. And there's one place to start, Elliot, let's face it. And with respect to Canada, we are going to touch on them in a moment. But there is this group, Group B, and it is massive. You've got England, you've got USA, you've got Wales, you've also got Iran, but we don't care about them. I tell you what, we are English. Let's start with England then, before we move on to the States and then Wales. England have been in the semi-finals of the World Cup in 2018, got to the final of Euro 2020. Can they go one better this time?
It's really hard, isn't it? Because you want to be realistic, and I think we have been in the weeks leading up to it. You know, you and I have had the odd conversation about the World Cup in the last month or so, and then you find yourself a couple of days from the tournament. The players have flown out. You know, the team was announced. They've flown out. They've done a couple of days training, and you sort of watching it, and you think, oh, we could do this. We could do this. Realistically, I do believe it would be difficult to take if they didn't get as far as they did in 2018, because I believe the squad is the same, if not better, more experienced. So can we do it? We've got a lot of time to talk about this over the World Cup, so let's not jump straight in, but I think they have to go deep. England have to go deep.
Yeah, I think for me, when I looked at the squad, my initial reaction was, we've got no chance. But I think that's because, you know, I mean, we're at an age where we remember the 2006 World Cup very clearly and the big names that were involved there. I mean, England were one of the favourites, had arguably the best squad of names when you look at Beckham, Gerrard, Lampard, Rooney, Owen, John Terry, Ferdinand, Ashley Cole. And you look at the names in this squad and you think, well, it's not actually, I don't think on paper, as bigger names globally in the squad. However, they've proved in the last two tournaments that they actually work better as a team over that one. So you could argue that, yeah, England do have a better chance of winning it. But I'm going to be honest with you. This, again, coming as a 32-year-old England fan who has seen nothing but, defeats in tournaments, really. I'm a massive pessimist when it comes to England in the World Cup. And I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think we're going to get to the final. I'd love it to happen and I'd be supporting them all the way, but I don't know. I'm very pessimistic about this one. But, you know, in terms of, let's say anyone watching from the States or Canada who, you know, obviously they may watch the Premier League but aren't as well known to the names that are in the England squad. Taking out Harry Kane, who do you think are England's danger men?
Well, it's interesting the point you make, if we can link this to what you've just said about, you know, they're not being the big names. Is that not because the Premier League now is at such a level, you know, the Lampards and the Gerrards and the Beckhams used to stand out. I think now you've got Saka, who could easily not start for Arsenal. You've got Grealish, who doesn't start for Man City. Harry Kane is probably one of the only players in the England squad that is first name on the team sheet for his club. I do think we've got problems in defence, but I think maybe the talent in the Premier League is just more spread out, and there is talent, there is English talent in the squad. Standouts for me, everybody's talking about Jude Bellingham. What's crazy is that he's probably not going to start. You know, in terms of the teams that are after him, Real Madrid, Manchester United, Liverpool, Man City. I'd love to see him play in the Premier League, of course. But they're after him because he's young and he's talented. He's going to be a big player, but he doesn't have experience in these tournaments. Yeah, he would have been, 15, 16 last time out. So it is Harry Kane. It is arguably Eric Dier, Harry Maguire, John Stones, who have got the experience at the back. And then we're going to have to rely on the creative flair from those players who are going to be fearless. They don't have the experience. You know, Saka, Grealish, you've got Sterling, who's a lot more experienced, who can get on the ball. Is he going to start? I don't know. But I think we rely on the attacking flair. If you can get Madison on the pitch, if you can get him fit, those are the players that are going to have to work around those, you know, England stalwarts, the experienced players, to make something happen.
Yeah, but I think, I think that with England, and this is probably where the States are only at the beginning of their journey and they're looking to the next World Cup, is that this squad is really, the nucleus of it, have been with each other for three tournaments now. So I guess you get to know players, well when you're playing with them. And that's probably Gareth Southgate's, a lot of people have questioned certain members of the squad. And that's probably where he's thinking of, is that these guys know each other, like you said there, Maguire, Stones, Dier. They, you know, they've been to multiple tournaments now. They know how each other play, and they play in a system that Gareth Southgate trusts. I think I'm really interested to see how Phil Foden does. I think the last Euros, he played a bit, and it was his first tournament. He's now progressed with Manchester City. He is a starter for Man City. Pep's got a massive opinion on him. He says he's the best young player he's ever worked with. And I mean, this guy's worked with Lionel Messi, so that's quite a thing to say. But yeah, I think I'm really intrigued to see how he does. And then, yeah, like you said, the likes of Grealish and Saka up front are on the wings, see how they can, basically make chances for Harry Kane, who has proved that he can score goals. So if we move on to the States then, obviously the US have got a real mix of players playing in Europe and playing in MLS, which is great for us to see. It's great as MLS fans and MLS podcasters that we're going to have quite a lot of players there who are in the league and hopefully can do well and really show off the league. Because I think that's what we missed in 2018, was the big US contingent and Canadian contingent of MLS players. I mentioned before that the States are kind of at the beginning of their journey, looking to the next World Cup when they host it. Where do you see US at the moment? Are they challengers to get into the latter stages?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think, me and you and everybody watching this with an interest in MLS knows that the States are in a much, much better place than they have been for a long, long time. I find myself constantly having the conversation about the States over here, saying, don't write them off. You know, they kind of, there's a preconceived idea that, you know, they're not going to do anything. And I've had to really warn people that the States are going to be much more of a dominant force in this World Cup, much more of a problem to England, a problem to Wales than a big problem to Wales than expected. And so, you're right what you say about the next World Cup. It is about that. It is about, you know, having that home advantage, working towards that for the next 4 years. but they do have a chance in this World Cup. There's every chance that hopefully England and either USA or Wales are going through. And I wouldn't count the USA out.
No, I wouldn't. I think if you just look down the squad at the players who are playing in Europe, and there's some players that play for some massive clubs within Europe. You've got Matt Turner at Arsenal, Dest at AC Milan. You know, you've got McKenney, obviously, at Juventus.
Keep going.
And the lads at Leeds. You've Keep got going. Pulisic at Chelsea. You've Keep got Reina at Borussia Dortmund.
Keep going.
You know, you've then got players that are playing for very small European clubs like, I don't know, Haji Wright, who plays for that team in Turkey. Josh Sargent, who plays for some small club in the east of England.
Get in.
But these players are playing in Europe in big leagues and competitive leagues and doing okay. They're doing well. So I think for people in this country, and I did see Wayne Rooney predicted that England will win 4-0 against USA. I think we'll win. I don't necessarily think we'll win that convincingly. But yeah, I think to write the US off, I think it's an easy thing to do for us Brits sometimes, especially with soccer. But I'm with you. I won't be writing the US off at all.
I'm going for a 1-1 draw between England and the US. James Maddison and Josh Sargent on the score sheet. What do you reckon to that?
Nice. Okay.
Come on, the Yellows.
I would call that a wet dream of yours, personally, rather than an accurate prediction. I just hope, as an England fan, and on our social media, we have a lot of people from the States that follow us, obviously listen to the podcast. I just really hope we don't lose, because otherwise I think we're going to have to jump the gun of what Eli Musk wants to do and
just leave.
Sorry, Elon Musk, not Eli. I've been watching too much MLS.
Eloy Room.
But we'll have to leave prematurely. Many are saying that the biggest challenges to the US finishing second is Wales. Obviously, there's one man in particular that is the name on everyone's lips when it comes to Wales, LAFC's Gareth Bale. He showed in the MLS Cup that he's still got, despite not playing much, he can still pull it out of the bag when it's needed. How do you see Wales doing? We are the MLS UK show. We've got to big up Wales. And I personally think they could surprise a few teams.
Yeah, the reason that our logo is red is because of Wales.
Definitely.
Promise. Always a big fan of Wales. In all seriousness, I do see it as quite an even tie between Wales and the USA. I think USA have got a lot more, when we talk about the next World Cup, I think there's a lot more in the future. I think they've got a lot more to come. They've got a lot more young talent. But when they face off against each other, I genuinely, it's a game I'm looking forward to. USA-Wales is going to be a massive game, and it's the first one. And I think that is where we're going to learn a lot about what's going to happen in the group stage, providing England can get the job done. And I see it as a really even game. I think USA are on a big trajectory, but the point they're at now is pretty evenly matched with Wales.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think for it to be the first game as well, it's like whoever loses that game, let's say it was the States, for example, it's going to be, you know, because I mean, obviously Wales are a very small country, but I'm seeing a lot more of excitement coming from the States naturally. And I think if the US was to lose that game, there's sort of the morale would just drop. And I think it would do a lot more than Wales. I think if Wales lost it, they'd still look and go, well, we can get something off England. We can beat Iran. 4 points, we could go through with that. Whereas with the States, if Wales do win, I just think it's going to just, you know, I would worry then for how the States would do in the tournament. So, that's a really intriguing match. And, I'm really looking forward to that one. Obviously, that's on after the England-Iran game. So I'll be sticking around watching that. And it wouldn't surprise me, you know, if it was a draw. 1-1, Bale to score for Wales. It would not surprise me one bit.
No, I agree. MLS Cup winner, Gareth Bale.
Of course. You can listen, just a little plug if you want to. You can listen to our MLS season review where we touch on the MLS Cup on your podcast provider or on YouTube. So check that out. Right, let's move over to Canada then. It's a weird one for us. As I said, we're in our early 30s and we've been watching World Cups for many years, and this is the first time that we'll be seeing Canada in a tournament. I've got to say, I'm really excited. I'm really buzzing for them.
I couldn't agree more. Really nice. Even from a neutral, stepping away from the MLS perspective, just nice to see different teams in there, isn't it? Getting involved, but nice to see teams coming in that have got a chance of winning some games as well. I think that puts them on a pedestal for me. I think it's nice to see, you know, you expect Canada to come in and surprise people. Like, I'm telling everybody here that the States are going to surprise people as well. I think they come in with way more of a chance than people would expect, and their history would suggest as well.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that Canada actually win the tournament, because then we can say with Dane St. Clair and Kamal Miller that we've had World Cup winners on the podcast. Yes, so that would be great on a personal note. But it's a tough group for Canada. They've obviously got Belgium in there. They've also got Croatia and... who else did they go? Morocco, sorry. I was trying to remember on my World Cup sticker book, which I've only got a few left, actually. I've had to go to Panini to get the remaining stickers.
Oh, it's always an exciting time.
So, I'm looking forward to seeing how they do. Obviously, all eyes are on Alphonso Davies, but, you know, they've got a few other players, especially a big, massive MLS contingent in there, as well as the States. And, I think... You know, don't get me wrong, in my bracket, I haven't got them to finish second. I've actually got Croatia to finish second in the group. But again, Canada could shock people and then get into second and in the knockout stages.
Yeah, agreed. I think the smart money would be on Croatia. But again, Canada will be very, very happy to be there. And once they're there, they'll want to go and do really well. So there's absolutely every chance that they could cause a bit of a, I'm going to call it an upset. I don't think it's disrespectful. I really think they come in with a lot more of a chance than people would initially give them. And you mentioned Alphonso Davies. What a journey for that man. Born into in a refugee camp, and look what he's done. Look what he's achieved in his career, getting into that Vancouver 2 team, playing some USL, moving up to MLS, and then that big move. Unbelievable journey for that man, and now he's going to be at the World Cup.
I think he's such a likeable guy as well. You know, you see him on social media, like you saw him, he didn't play in the match that Canada qualified for the World Cup, but he was in tears watching it, and I think he's such a likeable person, and for him to go and represent his country, you know, his country he's adopted, he's fantastic. And I really hope he does so well, because he's such a talented player. And, you know, he's someone that the Canadians are obviously really behind, really proud of. And it'll be nice for him to go and really perform on the biggest stage, because you see him for Bayern Munich and he consistently does it. And yeah, it'd be great to see. And good luck to Canada. We are rooting for the States as well. But I think feel with Canada, you know, it's such a moment, this. And then obviously they'll be in the next World Cup and they can build on it. But this, to actually qualify themselves outright, is brilliant. And I'm really looking forward to watching them in the tournament. Right, Elliot, let's move on to our personal favourites for the tournament. We're going to kind of do our predictions later on in the show. But, I mean, there are names that naturally roll off the tongue when you talk about favourites for a World Cup. But is there one or two in particular that you're really... fancy in this time?
Yeah, do you remember when we were talking about I was sat just here, we were doing a stoppage time episode ahead of MLS Cup and in start of the playoffs, and I said, oh, I just feel like MLS Cup's going to be, you know, Philly versus LAFC, and it seemed like I was just picking them because they were the best. But you kind of have to be smart, you know, and it would be crazy not to talk about the likes of France and Argentina for me. I think Argentina is everyone's dream, just for that little magician. And you have to feel like they do actually, if you just move Messi aside for a second, they do actually have talent. It's not all going to be pinned on him. Yes, they're going to need him massively, but there are real stars in that Argentina team. And France, of course, in terms of their whole squad roster, is absolutely stacked. So for me, they're going to be the teams to beat. Someone else might beat them for you. That's always the dream. That's what seems to happen for England in the last couple of tournaments.
Yeah, England have had quite a lucky run, haven't they, in the last few, and hopefully it'll happen again. But yeah, I've got to agree with you there. Argentina, I think you look at South America, you look at Argentina, Brazil, because you've got to remember the temperature as well in Qatar. I think it'll suit them a bit more. So yeah, I know the dream is for Messi to win. I mean, up to about a week ago, I think the dream of everyone was Argentina v Portugal in the final. And a certain superstar has put a lot of people off that idea in the last week. But yeah, you know, you've got to look at Argentina. And I think, you know, you've got to look at from the European side. Yeah, France, Germany always do well in World Cups. They have that knack. I've got to say with France, though, France, if you're talking about Germany having a knack of getting to the latter stages, France also have a knack of having a really good tournament and then just imploding in the next one. So
yeah,
I would not be surprised to see that either. But, you know, I think, yeah, there's loads of teams in Europe. And this is the thing with this World Cup is because it's where it's happening and the time of year it's happening, we've not had this before. So there's going to be a lot of teams that will look and go, well, we don't really fancy doing that. We prefer it in the summer. But even when you look at England, like a lot of, with England over the years, a lot has been said that have the players burnt out when it gets to the summer. Well, you look at them now and think, well, they had most of them had the summer off, and then they've now getting into the sort of the peak of the season in November. This is when players are finally getting really fit. I mean, I know Harry Kane's, it's been said that he's kind of burnt out already, which is a bit frightening from an England point of view, but. Yeah, I'm sure England will look at it and be confident. But yeah, I think those names, you know, you'd look at them. Spain as well. Spain and Germany in the same group. That's going to be, you know, that's a tough group. One of them could go out of that group, which will be a shock. I personally think it'd be Spain. I don't think they've got necessarily the players at the moment to get to the latter stages. But yeah, fascinating. It's going to be really intriguing. Right, so we'll do our predictions in a moment, Elliot. But first, as we used to on the MLS UK show, we thought, as it's our World Cup preview episode, we better bring back a person who you all love, who secretly is the star of the MLS UK show, Poppy, my wife, and she is here to do her World Cup kit reviews. Here's some highlights of when I recorded this with her earlier.
Elliot Holman, Henry Hewitt, MLS UK show.
Hi, I'm Poppy, and these are my World Cup 2022 kit reviews. Argentina, what were you thinking about those sleeves? Oh, the shoulders are awful. Honestly, just get rid of the sleeves and the shoulder. It's the black shoulders. Awful. Australia. Oh, you're doing it for me, Australia. Look at that shirt. That's amazing. That's exactly, if you thought of Australia, that is what you'd think of. It looks sandy, it looks sunshiny, with a little bit of green. Love it. Belgium, the makers of chocolate. Those sleeves! Has this been made in paint? Brazil. Oh, this is very similar to Australia, it's just like a little bit brighter. You know what? It's perfect. It's even got like a nice little pattern in the background. Yeah, it's giving me Rio vibes. Love it. Canada. Canada have played it safe. I mean, were we expecting anything other than a red shirt? Croatia. Ooh, I love it. I absolutely love it. It's like, you know what? I love a picnic. Could use that shirt as a picnic blanket. I love it. England. You know what? I thought I was going to be really disappointed with this, but I love it. Look at that top. It's a cute little blue ombre into black. Love that, England. France. So we've got a blue shirt that's got crease marks ironed into it. That's all I'm seeing. Germany. Oh, I just love it. It's just a simple black stripe down the middle. What? Oh, yeah, I love it. And it's even got the flag around the neck. Oh, they're so creative. Iran. This is giving me Cruella de Vil vibes. It's 101 Dalmatians. Japan. Did we expect anything less than Japan? This is giving me structural engineering, origami, love it. It's like, it's amazing. It's got like little folded pieces of paper, it almost looks like in the background. Mexico. I don't like the pattern. I don't like that it looks like it's been sewn. It looks like it's going to be a woolly jumper. The texture just seems, I just don't like it. I don't like that it looks textured. It's not for me. Holland. Holland, orange. It's what we expected. It looks shiny. Yeah, it's all right. Orange is my favourite colour, but I wouldn't purchase this one. Portugal. Red and green never be seen. You know what? It's Christmas time. They've come as a Christmas tree. Saudi Arabia. Oh my gosh, look at the green. I absolutely love that. So it's green with a like minter green. Yeah, like a ripple kind of effect. So I'm a zebra print. I love it. That's so cool. That is what the Timbers should look like. Serbia. That is one funny neckline. Spain. It's a red shirt with a blue awful collar thing. I like the flag that the flag's included. That's not even their flag. Ignore that. It's not their flag. But they've half included the flag in the collar bit with a bit of black. But all in all, it's just a red shirt with a couple of colours thrown on it. Switzerland. It's awful. It's discoloured. It looks like that one you bought off eBay. Tunisia. Here I am, ready to be controversial because I love that. I love the background print. I'd love to know more about that. I feel like I need to do a bit of research about what that pattern is. That is super cool, but they do look like giant boobs. Oh no, now I've seen it, I can't unsee it. USA. You know what? If you'd have not told me this was America and you'd removed that off the front, I would have absolutely guessed this was America, and I don't know why. But there is something so American about it. It's probably the colours. It's probably the red and blue. It's the neckline. Everything about that screams, "Hi, I'm American and I pull my socks up." And last is Wales. I know it's red. And I know everything about this should tell me that I hate it. But Wales, you're giving it to me. So that was Poppy's kit reviews for the World Cup 2022. It was hard to pick a least favourite because most of them were pretty awful, but I'm really sorry, Mexico, it goes to you. But the all-time winner, the one that I would actually purchase this year, Saudi Arabia.
Elliot Holman, Henry Hewitt, MLS UK show.
So there we go, there were Poppy's kit reviews, World Cup edition 2022.
Always so much, what's the word, insight.
Yeah. You know, I think you see so many blogs and so many like people on TV and stuff rating the kits, and they're giving like the, "Oh, I really like that because of this and that." And, "Oh, that colour really, you know, it is an iconic colour for that team." Not Poppy. She looks and, yeah, she says what she does. So thanks, Poppy, for that again. She'll be back for MLS 2023. So you got that to look forward to. I did notice that St. Louis announced their kit the other day.
Yeah. Not a great start. Anyway.
Right, before we go on this episode of Stoppage Time, we need to do our World Cup predictions. So I tell you what, let's start the big one. Who's going to win it?
England.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, patriotic. So are you expecting England to have this easier run to the final? Because you've, like I said before, you know, it's an interesting time of year to have it. Do you think that maybe some of the big hitters will falter a bit?
Yeah, more sort of a stars aligning kind of vibe. Gonna have to beat some big teams at some point, so I'm gonna say England France final.
Right, so I've done a bracket for this, and I actually had England losing to France in the quarterfinals. That's where my head is with it. I've gone for Argentina to win and Argentina to beat Belgium in the final. Obviously, Belgium are such a good team, aren't they? And I think for a lot of people, you kind of forget a bit about Belgium because they're not traditionally one of the big hitters in Europe. But you look at some of their players like De Bruyne, you know, Lukaku, this squad that they've got, and even the squad that, you know, are going to be competing at this World Cup, there's still some massive names in there who are doing really well. And this is their golden generation, and this is probably, you could argue, as the players are getting older, one of their last opportunities to actually win a World Cup, you'd think.
Yeah, finished third last time, ahead of England, of course. I have to agree. For me, it's the golden generation, but it's can you make all of those players work? Can you make it work together? Like having a great roster in MLS, you've got to make that work. And as they play more games, they're going to have to rotate. And that strong 11 starts to become slightly weaker. I do think they're going to be, you know, they're going to be one of the teams to beat. But I've said it now. England beating France in the final.
There we go. Let us know what you think. Who's winning the World Cup? I mean, don't no one do a Samuel Eto'o. Did you see his bracket the other day, Elliot?
Yeah, ridiculous.
Cameroon to win. I mean, this will get clipped if Cameroon do end up winning, and he is a genius, but I can't see that happening. He had England going out in the second round to Qatar, which also I can't really see that happening. Well, let us know what you think. Let us know your bracket. Who's going to win World Cup 2022? We'll be doing episodes throughout the tournament when we can jump on Zoom. And we really hope that you do enjoy them. Get involved. Tweet us at MLS UK Show while Twitter's still here. Or get involved on Instagram. We're also on TikTok at MLS UK Show as well. Remember, the MLS UK Show is sponsored by soccer90.com. Go on their website. At the checkout, when you've got your international shirt you want or your MLS shirt, then if you put in MLS UK in the discount code, you get 20% off. And before we go, I've got to say as well that if you are enjoying the podcast, if you're enjoying these World Cup episodes, then why don't you rate us on your podcast provider? But there's one rule and one rule only.
LA Galaxy style, 5 stars only.
Exactly, and that will remain throughout the World Cup. Although we could do Brazil, because they've won 5 World Cups.
Brazil style.
Right, that's it from us. We'll be back next time. I've been Henry Hewitt.
And I'm Elliot Holman. Enjoy the World Cup.
See ya.
Sports Social Podcast Network.